Father, we just thank you for our president. We thank you for everything that he has willingly suffered and gone through to raise your banner of purity and holiness and Christianity to the entire world. We pray for his family. We pray for his strength. We pray for his continued boldness in the fight that he's leading against the darkness of this world. And Father, as we go forth tonight in tonight's message and tonight's word, we pray that all seven of your spirits would rest strongly upon him as he goes forward to do the work that you've called him forth to do. And Father, we thank you for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the seven spirits of God, what God is about to manifest to us. This is a fulfillment of prophecy that God has spoken over us as Gentile peoples, Gentile nations. The remnant has been going through this major shift in its understanding of what God is doing on the earth. Some are flowing with God and some are not. And it's exciting to be a part of those who are flowing with God. However, God has taken the remnant out of the wilderness, and we are on the verge of entering into his promises for us. It's an exciting time for the Joshuas and the Calebs, who have been waiting patiently for God to kill off the last of the rebellious ones, who just didn't want to shake off the old way. And it's with an eagerness that the remnant is bidding farewell to the old guard who refused to move with the cloud. And that puts a smile on my face, and I know it puts a smile on the rest of the remnant's faces as well. I kept hearing this scripture throughout the morning. I know it has particular meaning for someone, so I'm going to read it. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. At all times and in all ways, we need to follow and let the Spirit of God move us and not be led by our own flesh, our own decisions, our own will. There's things that anyone who's prophetic knows. Sometimes we want to do something, but we feel the Spirit of God saying, no, don't do it. And despite all of the opposition, despite all of the, man, that really looks good for me to do, you have to pull your desire, your flesh back and say, I'm only going to do what the Spirit of the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes the things that the world says, it looks right for you to do, but it's going to bring you destruction. This is a warning from Proverbs that should be stuck in our spirit, man. Let's be watchful not to presume that we know all that God is doing. There are so many different little parts at play. There's so many different things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't even know. And the word says that we prophesy in part and we see in part. So even though God gives us revelation, he gives us wisdom and knowledge about different things, don't presume that you know the whole picture. Wait. Wait for that instruction. Wait for that total leading. It's neat how God, when he uses all of us to prophesy together, you know, there will be maybe seven or eight of us, and all of us will have something different, but it will all tie together. So that's another benefit of being in the body of Christ, because when you have that, you can grow, and it'll keep you from being lopsided. It'll keep you from going off in a direction that God never intended for you to go into. We need to be like little children and constantly watching with the Father, watching the Father so that we can see exactly what he is about to do. Kirsten is a good example of this. Catherine moves, and Kirsten is right there, stuck like glue. When Catherine does manage to get away, here comes Kirsten. Have you seen my mom? We have to have this level of intensity with God. that our eyes are so focused on God that when he moves, and if we miss where he's at, we're like, all right, God, where you at? Where you at? Because we don't want to miss what God is doing. And it's so neat in this time period because things are happening faster. They're happening quicker. The anointing that was here this morning during the whole service and the altar service was just life-changing. And I feel different. I know my wife feels different. I'm pretty sure everyone else feels different. But to know that God has reserved us for this time and for this season is exciting. And to know that all of the things that we've went through, they're for a purpose. And God's about to use us in such fantastic ways. And everything is building, 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 building. Who knows? You know, the great things that God is going to do in this region. I don't know about you, but I was so excited to feel the earthquake this week. The one that happened in 2011, I was driving, and I didn't get a chance to experience it. But this time, I was actually sitting down in class, and I felt the wave and the rush. Half the class was scared. Half the class didn't know what was going on. No, I'm pretty sure that was the same with everybody else, but it's a fulfillment of prophecy. For a long time, they said that there was going to be earthquakes on the East Coast. We're on the East Coast. Another prophecy that they've had about the East Coast was that the revival is going to start on the East Coast. So we're on the East Coast. Delaware is on the East Coast. The Lighthouse Church is on the East Coast. Things are moving and happening. And I'm excited about that. And you should be excited about it as well. Keep your eyes intently focused on the Father so you don't miss what he's about to do. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. Spiritual wisdom. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. I'm in a class right now, and it's called Global Societies. And in that class, I see Bible prophecy fulfilling itself, because nation after nation after nation has aligned itself against Israel. And it's so amazing to see how the Bible is fulfilling itself, but these people are so unaware of what they're doing, but they feel like it's the right thing to do. I'm kind of mad because one of the papers that I have to write is about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And I told Catherine, I said, I hope God uses me to minister to my professor, because this is the perfect thing to be able to talk to him with. But he put a clamp on the assignment. We can only use the material that was given in class. Yeah. And I was like, no. So now I don't even want to write the paper, but I know God's going to do something. But the whole thing, their wisdom comes to nothing. And you can see it. It's as plain as day. But they're so geared to what they think is right, what they think is doing the right thing, and it's wrong. It's all wrong. And they're so deceived by this darkness. And they're so deceived by the Antichrist spirit that it's just like, God, please do something. But they've already made their decision. They've already set themselves against what God wants to do. Which brings it back to us. We're here. And God has prepared us. He's warned us that these things were going to happen and they're going to be. So now, we're full of the Spirit of God. We're full of the anointing, and we're going to be able to take it out to the darkness, to the ones who do want to hear, and we'll know the truth. And we'll be able to discern those who really want God and those who don't, and we'll be able to give them that word. So this wisdom, you know, that comes in verse 6, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. We're mature, and we don't have the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There's so many wonderful things that God has prepared for us. They haven't even been written in books yet, but we're about to experience those things. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That videotape that was played this morning, that's just a foretaste of what God is really about to do. And that is so exciting to just see people trying to talk and can't talk, falling out in the Spirit, not able to stand up. 24/7, we're getting ready to go into that. That's so exciting. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There's a recognition, a recognizing of the Spirit of God that we all have, that the world doesn't have. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. I think that's significant, especially if you line this up with the scripture that God gave us in Revelations about those people who are coming against us. They're going to be our footstools. They don't have anything to say legally that will stand against the words of God that he has proclaimed over us, spoken into us, and he has caused the enemy to bow his knee. And we're standing, whether we believe this or not, or understand this or not, at a place where our enemies are our footstool. They can't rise above us, even though they shout all kinds of accusations, they shout condemnation, they shout things against us that will bring us into, could bring us into a place of guilt. Because God has seated us above them in the Spirit, they're beneath us. And we're not carrying an arrogant attitude, we're not carrying a prideful attitude about this, because we know who we are in Christ. We know that because of the grace of God, we're able to stand. Because of the grace of God, if it wasn't for Jesus and it wasn't for God supplying, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a place to stand in his kingdom. But because of him, these people are under our feet, and we're able to go forth with the gospel and to do his work and to carry that love to those who will receive it. And there's so many in this hour that are ready to receive that gospel message. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that is so important in this hour, that we have the mind of Christ, that even when things go helter-skelter, that we can settle ourselves down and say, Father, you see all of the junk that's going on around about me right now. I still my soul before you. Give me your mind. Give me your peace. And when you do that, you feel his peace come all over top of you. You're able to think. You're able to concentrate. And then you hear his voice. And he gives you that instruction and that direction that you need. That's special. That is so special. And we need to cherish that in this hour. So to tie this together with our first scripture, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. If we don't yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, we're going to go down this path that's going to bring us total destruction. But as we yield ourselves to God, He is able to course correct, He is able to set us in the right direction, and keep us on course with Him so that we can do the things that He's asking us to do. The new spiritual journey that we are on cannot be walked through with our natural wisdom. And this is something that we need to understand, because God has placed us in a place that our families don't understand what's going on, other churches don't understand what's going on, other church leaders don't understand what's going on, and we have to get our instruction straight from God in order to be able to move into that next realm and that next place that God wants us to. And we've all done this. You know, we cried out for help to people who we thought were super spiritual, and God was like, you can't do that. He shut it down. They either said something totally outrageous, or they said something that was so, you knew from the time their words came out of their mouth that it was not the Spirit of God, that you just, he was like, okay, all right, thank you. And you politely dismiss yourself. And you said, God, why did I do that? You know, why didn't I just ask you for the answer that I needed? So, natural wisdom is not going to make it in this hour. We have to have supernatural wisdom. We have to have that supernatural understanding. And that takes being in God's face. That takes asking Him, seeking for Him to give us that revelation that we need. We need to ask for the supernatural wisdom of God so that we can navigate this new journey that we are on. The Spirit of the Lord is wanting us to take this into consideration, because He doesn't want us to waste time with presumption or preconceived notions. The Spirit of the Lord is wanting us to take this into consideration because He doesn't want us to waste time with presumption or preconceived notions. It might seem strange or even a burden to ask the Holy Spirit what you should do in each situation that you encounter, but it doesn't bother the Holy Spirit that you do this. He's looking forward to you doing that. It would be better that you ask for wisdom, direction, understanding, than to not ask for it and assume that you're doing the right thing. And it's not been too long that God has spoken to us about Joshua and Achan. You know, that was a message that was given. Joshua was doing the work of the Lord, and they were winning battle after battle until Achan took the accursed thing and hid it in his tent. We are moving into a dispensation where the Spirit of God is going to be on us, but we can't take that for granted. The Bible was given to us for a reason, and we must always seek the face of God about everything that we do. There is information hidden in the Scriptures about the anointing and how it works, but you have to search it out. You have to ask the Holy Spirit for that wisdom so you can know what it is that God is doing and how He wants you to do it. It's so key and so vital, because everything that God is doing, it affects the soul. The things that God has lined up, each and every time we have service, there are souls that are affected by what goes on in here. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to be in tune to the Spirit of God so that we have a sharp ear ready to move, you know, ready to do whatever He wants us to do at that moment. 1 Corinthians 2:10 to 12. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And I put that back in there just to remind us, it's not by natural means. It's not by natural thoughts. Sometimes it will work, but most times it won't. And we have to stay in the Spirit. We have to do things by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, Do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. We've got to seek that higher level understanding, that higher level maturity in the spirit realm. We have been entrusted with the mysteries and the gifts of God. We have been given a precious gift to be able to carry the burden of the Lord. We have been given the ability to be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to work through. And as he works through you, you are dead to yourself and alive to Christ. That deadness to yourself is just what God needs to work through so that he can get the glory and he can show himself strong on behalf of the people. That is something that needs to be magnified more and more over and over, the deadness to ourselves. It's neat if you look at some of the things that God has been speaking to us and how he's been moving. All of it has been about the crucifixion of the flesh. All of it has been about dying out to yourself and then magnifying the Spirit of the Lord. And as that's been happening, that's been occurring, the example that has been before us has been yielded vessels who are being moved by God through his Spirit. As we don't seek out natural wisdom on how to build a church, as we don't seek out natural wisdom on how to keep people in seats, and we allow the Spirit of God to move, that's what's going to cause things to happen. That's what's going to cause the revival to be birthed forth that God is wanting to be birthed forth in this area and in this time period. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. This is Peter's sermon. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Powerful words, powerful scriptures that God is moving and we're going to be a part of in this hour. Now, this was Peter's response to the crowd after the Spirit fell upon them in the upper room. The Spirit moving caused such an uproar and a ruckus that the people in the town didn't know what to do. It was a manifestation of God's power, and it demonstrates to that town and eventually to the world that God was still on the throne. There are things that we don't understand about God right now, but we'll later be able to understand them when we get to heaven. Now, the Bible says that there are seven spirits of God which will manifest to his people. And let's look at Revelations 4:5. "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." There were seven lamps of burning fire before the throne. These seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. This will probably start a war within the church. So many people get fired up about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I wonder what they would do if they had to explain that God also has seven different aspects of who he was. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." So we just saw in Revelation 4:5 that there were seven lamps of fire burning. I just thought that this was neat, seeing that Revelation 4 or 5 references the seven spirits of God as seven lamps of burning fire. Isaiah 11, 1 to 12. This talks about the reign of Jesse's offspring, and we are Jesse's offspring because we come in through the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, and Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations, and he will assemble the outcasts of Israel, and will gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is a prophecy that was sent. It was talking about Jesus, but it was given to David so that he would know what was going to happen in the end time hours. Those different things that we just spelled out includes the seven spirits of God: Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All of those things are what God is placing upon us to be released into the earth, to be released in this end time hour. And God is going to be using us as Gentiles as a part of this biblical prophecy. God says here that the seven spirits of God in verse 2 shall rest upon the remnant church. If you look at this passage of scripture on the surface, it's talking about Jesus. When he returns, he will be coming back as a righteous judge, and he will make all things right. But you also need to see that the same spirit that will be on Jesus should also be upon his remnant church. God has told us that we were going to be the second John the Baptist, the second John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. We, as the second John the Baptist, have a great responsibility, because just like the first John the Baptist, we're calling out, repent. We're telling the world, we're telling the body of Christ, it's time to repent because Jesus is coming. So we have to have the same anointing that Jesus had, the same anointing that John the Baptist had, in order to be able to get these people to come into the house of the Lord. We have to be walking in the seven spirits of God in order for that worldly wisdom to be broken by the anointing that destroys all yokes. Verse 2, this is talking about Jesus, but once again we're supposed to be doing the greater works than him. Look here and see that there are seven different distinct spirits of the Spirit of God. Number 1, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. 2, the spirit of wisdom. 3, the spirit of understanding. 4, the spirit of counsel. 5, the spirit of might. 6, the spirit of knowledge. 7, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. We need all 7 of these things. Sorry, not things. We need all 7 of these spirits flowing and working today to deal with the people that we have coming into the house of God. If you don't have wisdom, you're not going to know who's true and who's not true. If you don't have understanding, you could look at a drug addict and misjudge them. You could look at a prostitute and misjudge them. If you don't have the spirit of counsel to be able to help those people who really want help, to be able to decipher through all of the things that they're going through, to be able to pick out, okay, I'm telling you, this is what you're not supposed to do, this is what you are supposed to do, and if you follow these things here, giving them wise counsel, wise governing, the spirit of might. We have to have that spirit of might to be able to break the bondages off of people's lives. This is an anointing. There's a time in the season where God says, okay, I'm going to be long-suffering. But after a time, he says, enough's enough. And he brings down that rod, that strength. Then there's the spirit of knowledge that we need to have. And it's not worldly knowledge. It's God's knowledge. It's his Holy Spirit to be able to really pick out and discern what's really going on here with this particular situation. And in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, if you don't have that, none of this will work. None of it. Because you'll be operating in pride, you'll be operating in your flesh, and then you'll get to a place where I don't even need God. So everything starts, wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. As our flesh dies, we are free to walk in the spirit. And if you don't understand this, the day that you become born again, that's your death walk. Each day you're supposed to be dying more and more and more till you're completely died out so that the Spirit can work and move through you. And the more that you resist that death process, the harder time that you're going to have in your walk with God, because you're resisting what the Spirit of God wants to do through you, but you're also resisting what he wants to do to you. And if you're fighting in yourself, fighting with your flesh, saying, I don't want to yield, I don't want to bend, eventually God will say, okay, and he'll move on. But by the fact that you're sitting here tonight, I believe that the Holy Spirit brought you here, and you have said in your heart, I'm going to yield. I want what the Spirit of God wants. And I'm going to keep walking until I'm completely dead. And then I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to walk through me to do what needs to be done so that I can reach these people. We have to walk in the Spirit in everything that we do. Now, Jesus being our example, Jesus being the man, not God, he walked this earth just as we did. There are no excuses why we as believers cannot walk in the Spirit of God, and that should be capital S, I'm sorry. The Bible says that he had the same temptations that you and I have, and with God, nothing is impossible. The Spirit of the Lord, if you saw verse 1, I left that one out at the top because I knew I was going to talk about it at the bottom. The Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 61:1-3. The good news of salvation. This scripture is actually repeated in the New Testament by Jesus, and he pulls it straight from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is a separate anointing altogether to preach good tidings unto the humble, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to proclaim the opening of prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And if you look at what God has been doing, tying this together with the worship, God has done different things through worship. All of it has been tied to getting us into a place of continual, constant joy. Having that spirit, having that song come up in your spirit when you're away from here is powerful. Because that, when you're here and you're in the presence of the rest of the saints and God moves upon you, and then when you're out there, you're in your battle, quote unquote, by yourself, and to have that anointing come upon you and have that song hit you, it's powerful. Because then you know that there's a connection with the Spirit of the Lord. There's a connection with the body of Christ. And that's a tool and a weapon that we need to be allowing to flow. There's many, many times, I don't know all the songs yet, but because they're in my spirit, because of being in praise and worship, when it's needed, that song pops up. And that song ministers to me. And I know that there's going to be other testimonies of the very, very same thing that has happened to you all. And it's so awesome to have praise and worship that ties together with the message, that breaks the yoke and destroys the bondage before the message even goes forth. It's easier to receive. It's easier to have everything fit and flow together. And it's so powerful, by the time you get to the word, you want to jump off your seat and run around because it's just such a connection by the Spirit of God. That's only going to get better. That's only going to increase as the days go on, because the anointing is getting stronger. The anointing is getting deeper. But guess what? The cleanness on the inside of you also is getting cleaner. And because it's getting cleaner, you're able to receive it in a deeper way. And it's going to cause you to stay changed. This is the number one goal of God. Not that you get a touch and you fall out in the spirit, but that you stay changed. This is what God wants to do with every person that comes through the doors. Staying changed. And it's going to take all seven of these spirits of God hitting you, you allowing them to do the work that they're supposed to do, and then God's spirit totally changing you forever. This is what he wants to do. All of these functions are carried by the Spirit of the Lord, so that these afflicted ones might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that God would be glorified. All of these functions are carried by the Spirit of the Lord, so that these afflicted ones might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that God would be glorified. And you know what's neat about this process? Because when you first start out in your walk with God, you're in a place of being minister to, then it should change from a place of, all right, I'm going to stop receiving in a way of, now it's time for me to give. Now it's time for me to take what I've been given and go and touch someone else. This ties together with the candle song that God had us play last week. You know, you take your candle out into the darkness and touch some other person. So the Spirit of God touches you, changes you, and rearranges you. It's not just supposed to stop there. It's supposed to continue on. You're supposed to go and take that and touch someone else, and then touch someone else, touch someone else. And then pretty soon the whole world's saved, because they just can't stand the atmosphere. They just feel so good that everything changes. This is what God is doing. This is how God is moving in his spirit across the whole entire earth. There is such great hunger right now for spiritual things. I wish everyone could understand that. If you would look at the Satanists, if you would look at the atheists, if you would look at those who are listening to, you know, they have wild lifestyles. They're hungry. They're hungry. And we have to change our focus and our mindset from looking at them as get away from me because you're going to infect me, to they need what we have. They need it. And as soon as we can switch our mindset and get out of our flesh and stop being afraid of these people, the sooner the Spirit of God is going to well up inside of us and touch them. They need it. We have, through Christ, not talking about pride, through Christ, we have what they need. And it's time that we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, to touch them, and to do the things that needs to be done. And you have to come to an understanding that people are watching you. They're watching you because they know that we have the answer. If you profess Christianity in any way, if you profess to know God, they're looking to see if you're real. They may not come up to you and say anything to you, but they're watching to see if you're real. We have a cross that's in our front yard, and daughter was telling us that there's this lady that walks by. I think she does running, but she stops, and she respects the cross that's there. So the Christians and the non-Christians alike know who the real God is, and they know, and they want something to be able to respect. They want us to have that truth. President Donald Trump, he resonates with so many people in this country, and it's unfair that a small minority of people rip him over the rugs and over the carpet because they have a radical way and a radical mindset about them. But the rest of this country wants to do what's right, and he speaks to them. And we need to pick up and we need to speak to those people as well and get them to see that God is not left. He's still here. He's still doing the works in this end time hour. It's a powerful anointing that every believer was going to be walking in. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. This time, the Holy Spirit is going to be falling on all of us. The heavens are already opened. Isaiah 42:1-9. The servant of the Lord. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastland shall wait for his law. Again, this speaks to that hunger that's there. They're waiting for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, in spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. In my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God gives us revelation as to what's going on. He gives us revelation as to what he's doing. Verse 1, I put my spirit upon him. If you're really open and honest, God has put his spirit upon you. He's touched you. There's some people who deny it. They deny it because they don't want to be held accountable. They deny it because they don't want to be held responsible for having the Spirit of the Lord touch them. There's a great responsibility that comes with walking with Christ. Once you know, you have to do something. You have to change. You have to get closer to Him. You have to prepare yourself to go to the rest of the world. And it's sad for those who said, no, I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to understand. I want to stay dumb in this dumbness. It's really sad. It's really sad. But we've been touched. We know. And there's more that God wants to do with us and through us. And all it takes is us dying and staying dead. Staying in that place of death so that this full manifestation of the anointing can hit us and move through us. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. God is going to use us as instruments of his judgment to bring justice to those who need to have justice. There are things that are going on that are not right in this earth, and he needs us as his hands and his feet, his members, to go forth with that anointing and stop the unrighteousness that's going on. And as we yield, as we die out to our flesh, he's able to do that more and more. There are some references to the seven spirits of God, Revelation 1:4, Zechariah 3:9, and Revelation 3:1, 4, 5, and 5:6 for more study. But I believe that you have an understanding of what God wants to do. Tonight, I believe that God wants to touch you with this manifestation of himself and his seven spirits. And if you're ready and you're open for that, the altar's open for you to receive that manifestation of his presence. When you come to the altar, just quietly say to yourself, Lord, I die to myself. And watch what the Lord will do for you.